Welcome to Marvin Methodist Church's Sanctuary Service, brought to you from our beautiful historic sanctuary in downtown Tyler. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We appreciate your participation in this morning's broadcast and pray that God's message will speak to you in a beautiful way. Let's join in as the message has already begun.
When Moses said, "Now show me your glory," the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me when you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I'll remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face you must not see." The Lord said to Moses, "Chisel two stone tablets like the first ones. I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Be ready in the morning when you come up to Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or to be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks, the herds may graze in the front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones, went up to Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. He carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for their sin, and the parents to the third and the fourth generation." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. This is one of the best things to do, is to preach when the sunlight is coming in right on my notes and on the Word of God. It's a special moment. So good to have you here. Those online, we welcome you as well. Let's pray together. Lord God, in these moments, do a good work through your Word. I ask that you'd hide me now behind the cross. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be very active in this place, in our hearts, doing what the Spirit does best, teaching us, convicting us, and comforting us. So God, thank you for being a compassionate and merciful God. And as we prepare our hearts to receive Holy Communion today, we acknowledge and celebrate your grace and mercy. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends, I have known for a while, especially after I became a parent myself, that I am very much like my human father, Ken Baker. My dad was loyal. My dad was faithful. My dad was an affectionate man who loved his family dearly. My mother for 56 years of marriage, and my two older brothers and myself. I'm the last of three boys. My dad loved the Lord when he came back to the church. He was in church every Sunday with my mother, and he was in a ministry during the week, and he served with men in a men's ministry and even sang in a senior adult choir in his latter years. I have fond memories of my dad being at the kitchen table with me and my other brothers, helping us with our homework. And when we get our homework done, sometimes getting outside with us, shooting baskets on the driveway, or maybe playing football in the yard, or sometimes even playing catch on the side of the house. Myself and one of my brothers were pitchers. Lots of time spent with Dad catching us as we worked on perfecting our pitches as boys. I looked at my father, who I love very much, and I was very close to him. I love my family because I watched my dad love his. I love my children because I watched my father love his boys. And I love my grandchildren because I watched my dad love his grandchildren. And some of the best memories are my dad on the floor with 7 grandkids piled up on top of him. And I have found myself wrestling with the kids, the grandkids, in a similar way. Now, as I share these words about my affection and love for my father, I'm very much aware that there are some in this room and others online today who have not been so blessed to have that kind of relationship with their fathers. I am very much aware of family hurts, daddy hurt, if you want to call it that, and how some people have not been blessed by that type of home life, or maybe the relationships are strained, and I want to be aware of that. I want to be sensitive to that, and I know that hurt is great. And I've observed in ministry throughout the years that if the love of Christ does not come into a family's life and heal broken wounds and hurts, there can be hurt that gets projected down through the generations. And there are probably some in this room who would attest to that. But friends, as we read the scripture lesson just a moment ago, as that ended with a very sour note, if you will, about the sins of generations that get passed down as part of the created order, without the grace, without the mercy, without the transformation, without the forgiveness, the sins of a generation do in fact get passed down, and some of us are aware of that. But the good news today, as we continue our sermon series, is we celebrate the heart of a Savior. A Savior who is compassionate and a Savior who is merciful. A Savior who welcomes us to the table today. But let me share with you from the scripture today from 34:7 of Exodus. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. He maintains love to 1,000s, and he forgives wickedness and rebellion and sin. We celebrate Jesus as gentle and humble and compassionate. And this last week I talked about Jesus is love covered over in flesh. And Brandy, 2 weeks ago in my absence, preached about the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We know of this Jesus is described in the book of Hebrews. Hear these words: the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being are found in Jesus. Jesus is like the Father, and we celebrate that today. Included in last week's message, if you saw that online, was this conversation with Jesus in the upper room, where he is asked by Philip, "Show us the Father," to which Jesus responds, "Philip, after all this time I've been with you, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father." We thank God for John 14:8-9, and we celebrate that God so loved the world that he came in the flesh through Jesus Christ, a man who lived among us and showed us the compassionate heart of the Father. Some Christians, though, believe that Jesus is the nicest person in the Holy Trinity. That because of God's righteousness, because of God's glory, because of who God is, that Jesus must be nice because God is more stern or maybe a little more strict or a little more judgmental than Christ is. He is holy and just, yes. His holiness demands an atonement for sin, and Christ gave that atoning sacrifice so that our sins could be forgiven. That is the blood that we celebrate that was shed today at this communion table, that we might be made one with God. But friends, the settlement of that atoning need is not so much for God as it is, I believe, also for us. It allows us to set aside our shame and guilt. Though theologically it is correct that we have a holy God who knows no sin, and someone had to be the bridge, someone had to be the intercessor to offer the sacrifice to bridge that gap, we give thanks that through the Christ justification for our sin, we are at one with God. As Paul says, we now are at peace with God for those who have faith in Christ. But let us not make the conclusion or assume that God's heart is not compassionate towards us. It misses the revelation of Scripture. It misses the revelation of our passage today from the book of Exodus. So let's back up and just look at this passage a little deeper if we could. Moses, friends, has already been to the mountaintop of Mount Sinai one time already. He came down with tablets that were, get this, I forgot, didn't notice this before, that the tablets, the first original tablets, God created them and wrote with his finger the Ten Commandments and presented them to Moses when they were rectifying or building this covenant up there on Mount Sinai the first time. That's the fun fact. But not so fun fact, as you might recall from reading the book of Exodus, is that when Moses came down from the mountain, Aaron and the people had grown impatient. They had made for themselves, collecting the gold from everyone, a golden calf. They created something to worship for themselves. And when Moses comes down from Mount Sinai and sees the debauchery and sees the worship of a golden calf made by human hands instead of the living God that has delivered them from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, what does Moses do but throw down the tablets and shatter them, breaking them into many pieces? In his anger, Moses reacts in rage and disappointment with an act of violence. And friends, there will be a judgment that comes, as we read in Exodus. A plague may come among the people to teach them a lesson from God that they have done something wrong. There will be other things that will happen, as if a loving parent oftentimes brings discipline to a child to say, you have made a wrong choice. You need to recorrect and redirect. Another set of Ten Commandments, though, will be created. And Moses, a second time, ascends the mountain, a little different this time. He is to go by himself. There will be no others nearby. And get this, he must chisel the stones himself and carry them up the mountain. Isn't God smart? And as Moses is carrying these tablets that now he has had to chisel with his own hands and carry up the mountain, I'm sure he's having some good reflection time about how hard it is to lead a stubborn and stiff-necked people down below. And yet God is gracious. God tells him his name, because Moses' request, if you heard the scripture, is this: God, I want to see your glory. Show me your glory. To which the Lord responds, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. I will have mercy upon those I wish to have mercy. I will have compassion upon those I wish to have compassion. Did you get it? Moses, maybe coming up a second time, knowing of the great sin that has happened down at the foot of the mountain, is so, show me your glory, God. Show me your judgment. Show me that lightning and flash of stuff. To which God gently says, I'll show you instead my goodness. I will have compassion and I will show mercy. Last week's message, I shared about Jesus. And there's a very similar word, not in Hebrew, but in the New Testament in Greek, describing a gut-wrenching compassion that Jesus had every time he encountered someone that had a need. Whether it was like last week and the leper, or whether maybe the woman caught in the who had the hemorrhage who was tugging on his robe, or whether it was Zacchaeus in a tree, this compassion overwhelmed Jesus. And the scripture said he was so filled with compassion as if these people were a sheep without a shepherd. Friends, I want us to hear the Savior's heart beats just like his Father's. He is like his Father. And when God gives his name, he says, the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining to thousands that love and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. The Lord he's not overlooking our sin. He is not the Lord, disappointed and frustrated. He is the Lord, compassionate and gracious, full of mercy. The psalmist writes in Psalm 138, 5 and 6, great is the glory of the Lord, for though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. Though the Lord is pure and holy and great, he has compassion for those who are hurting. The words merciful and compassionate are interchangeable here, and they come from the Hebrew word rechem. It comes from this deep within, gut-wrenching compassion that I described last week that Jesus often used. The scripture continues that God is slow to anger. And friends, I know you've been very patient. I love word studies, but this one makes it worthwhile. And you'll see the fun with the word studies. Here we go. The Lord is slow to anger. In the Hebrew translation, it literally means the Lord is long of nose. And I thought to myself, what does that mean? But let me ask you to do this with me. Make your angry face. Oh. What happens? Your nose gets crunched up when you're angry. So to be long of nose means to not be angry and grumpy and disappointed and frustrated and full of rage. That is not the Lord. He is long of nose. He is patient with us and compassionate and slow to anger. God is slow to anger. He may have wrath, described as holy anger, but it is not rage. He is like a parent who might be disappointed in us at times, but he is always holding out mercy and compassion and always desiring for us to enter back into relationship with him and re-engage life and find the joy and abundant life that Christ has to offer us. You might think that God's anger might be pent up, that God might be spring-loaded, but yet actually, friends, his divine mercy is what is always ready to go, always ready to show up, whatever the need might be. Divine mercy is ready to burst with compassion into whatever situation you will bring to this communion table today. Whatever you are dealing with, whatever heartache you are dealing with, whatever disappointment with yourself you may have, God's mercy and compassion is here today for you to receive. God is also abounding in love and faithfulness. And the word steadfastness is a very important word in the scriptures, both to the Hebrew side and the Greek side, because steadfastness means hesed, and it means a covenant-like binding together that is faithful and true and will never be broken. Quoting Ephesians 2, 3 through 4, we hear the words of the New Testament writer that though we were deserving of God's wrath, because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. God is rich in mercy. And nowhere else, friends, in the entire Bible does it speak of God being rich in anything, in generosity, in faithfulness, in love. He is rich. He's a multi-billionaire in the category of mercy. And we give thanks for that. God is not tight-fisted when it comes to mercy. He is open-handed with mercy. Or should I say, he is open-handed in mercy. Because Christ died for us. A sinner's death that we might be forgiven and know his love. The scripture ends with punishment. It talks about the way the world and its brokenness and depravity does pass down from generation to generation the sins of the parents. They do get passed down. You just have to look around and you will see the brokenness of people oftentimes relating back. I will acknowledge that there are some things of my father that I have picked up in my values and things that needed to be forgiven, that I needed to forgive him for. But hear these words from Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful, keeping his covenant love, his hased love, again, to 1,000 generations, to those who love him and to those who keep his commandments. I love that. Let's just acknowledge that the sins of the family do get passed down, maybe to 2 to 3 generations. But the faithfulness of God's covenant love, 1,000 generations. I'll take 1,000 generations over 2 to 3 generations anytime. And friends, let's bring this home. I'm inspired this week by the words of English Presbyterian Puritan pastor and author John Flavel, who wrote a long time ago in a book called Keeping the Heart, How to Maintain Your Love for God. He reminds us, God, our Heavenly Father, is more tender towards you than you are or you could ever be to yourself. I'm here to stand before you and say that my worst critic is myself. My disappointments are often, and the place I need God's mercy and grace is because I need God to heal a heart that is often hard on itself. And the things that I've done or didn't do or left undone. But we celebrate for 1,000 generations, God's mercy comes. El Rachim, merciful God. Elohi Hoasid, God of faithful love. God rich in mercy. God of mercy and compassion. So if you've been hard on yourself, come to the table. Receive the grace and mercy of a loving God. And I want to close with a story we learned yesterday from a new friend named Nancy, who is a believer in Christ. Nancy was abused as a child, not by her father, but by a neighbor, someone she should have trusted. And then her father also was an alcoholic and dealt with lots of issues of dependence. And so she did not have the type of relationship with a loving father that she wished that she had. She has church hurt. She has scars from those who have wronged her in unbelievable ways. But what has Nancy done through her new faith in Jesus Christ, through the compassion of a loving God? She has turned her direction to at-risk teenagers who have come out of homes where there has been abuse and neglect and where they don't have loving fathers. And she has stepped in to provide the love of Christ to them and to encourage them and to spend time with them and to disciple them so they know about the loving Father and to know about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, the table of mercy has been set for us. Jesus is the exact replica of his Father and his Father's heart. Today, we celebrate the heart of our Savior because it is the heart of our Heavenly Father. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd also like to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please go to marvin.church/give. Or send a gift to the church at 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us, and have a blessed week.